That you have in front of you. Anyone that want to have a copy? Yes? When do we recite this mitzvah?
Before benching.
Correct. When before benching?
On Shabbos.
Shabbos and?
Yom Tov.
Yom Tov. Generally, it's when Tachanun is not said. Let's use that as a criteria. Then we'll recite this particular Shabbos. Let's read it. And let's see exactly first the... We'll look at the nuts and bolts of it, and then we'll try to understand it as we are wont to do in a structural kind of way. Shira Malos. Anyway, Shira Malos, generally, what are the Malos that we are talking about? These are the Madregos and the Beis Hamikdash. B'shuv Hashem b'shiv Asiyom ha'yidu k'cholmi. Can we translate that? B'shuv Hashem.
The returning of Hashem.
Is it past? Is it future? Bishuv Hashem.
Present.
Present.
Past.
Past. Future. Any other possibility? Future. I guess we shall move on. It would seem that, according to this, is actually a discussion among the Mefarshim. You actually have some of it. I'll show you in a moment. Bishuv Hashem Hashiv Asiyon. When Hashem, let's say for a moment, the future, when He shall restore, Shiv Asiyon refers to those who were taken captive from the city of Tzion. Tzion, of course, refers to Yerushalayim. Hayinu kecholmim. We were dreaming. Oz. Now, Oz generally refers to what? The future. How do I know that Oz refers to the future? Look at the Gemara Brachas on the upper left-hand corner. It's called about the Rif. You're supposed to do what in this world? What does that mean? Fill your mouth with mirth. Well, I can't make a joke. I do that all the time. So the answer is, a joke is b'chud, and yimalei s'chol seems to imply something far more than that. Namely, where one is mirthful, shall we say, way beyond the average type of joke that a person makes. Let's just translate it like that right now. Shenemar Oz Yimalei Schog Pinu Shomen Rina. Where does Oz refer to? Not in this world, but rather sometime in the future. The Gemara continues. Amosai, when will this take place? Bizman Shiyamu Bagoyim, Igla Shem Lasa Simonim. Omer Olam HaRashokish Shemiyam Avlov. Once he heard this thing from Rabbi Yochanan, his Rebbe, Rabbi Shlokish never filled his mouth with mirth in this world. Okay, I'm not getting into the definition of that right now, but I just want to go back to the actual mitzvah. So it says, then our mouths will be filled with skok. Clearly, the difference between skok and rina. How would you define the difference between skok and rina? Offhand, yeah.
Rina might be more musical, like the singing.
Or good, and smoke?
Smoke would just be
laughter.
Laughter, excellent. That's the distinction. Rina actually is a term that's used in Chazal, you see. It refers to a kind of shir, kind of shevach that's said to Hashem, while the term smoke clearly refers to laughter. How do you know that, by the way? You have to bring rice and Tanakh, of course, for everything.
I just know that from Hebrew English Ventures, that Rina is a joyful song.
But maybe you'll bring me some sukkim in Tanakh at this point, as opposed to what you just cited. He's quite a mirthful fellow.
We call him Schok.
Isn't Schok like Sarah?
Excellent. What does the pasuk say?
That's what they
named Yitzchak. Okay, that's what it's called. Yitzchak. Yitzchak, correct. That Sarah actually left. Atitzchak Sarah b'kibro lemar. That after she's only shriveled, as it were, and her husband is not exactly a youngster, and she's going to what? Her period will be renewed, and she's going to become undergo a renaissance, where she'll be able to once again have children. Okay, but the term Rina, that you certainly should know. Where's Rina found? I don't think there's any camp called Camp Schok. But Camp Rina, there are many camps called Camp Rina. I don't know if you're familiar. Camps in the Catskills. The Catskills are mountains. Upstate New York.
Sure, sure. There
are a lot of camps over there. Anyway, the term Rina, where's the term Rina found in Tanakh? the Gemara, even if you don't know the Pesukim of Tanakh, you know the Gemara, so you know. Do you recall any time the term Rina is found?
Yeah, sure.
That's Mars.
You are simply guessing.
Oh,
you know Yoshua. Oh, you know Yoshua. Is the term Rina found the same with Yoshua?
No, better hope not. Definitely not.
You'll think about it, okay?
As Yashin, maybe?
I'm just giving you a few examples. You tell me.
Yes.
The term Rina is also a verb. Namely, I'll just give you an example of the verbal form. Kumi romi balayla, berosh ashimuros. Shivki kamayim libech, nochach bani Hashem. You familiar with the song?
Shivki.
Excellent. So kumi romi balayla, what does romi mean? There are people by the way their names. Some of my shuls called romi. Romi the good is his name. Romi, what does romi mean to sing? And the Lashon of Rina is a Lashon of song. But you correctly pointed out the distinction between song and Rina. One is clearly more laughter, and the other is more Shir v'Shara. Okay, let's continue. Oz Yomru Bagoyim, then the Goyim will say, Higdil Hashem, La Sosim Eile. What did Hashem do? Higdil. He did wonders. He flee. Which translated into Hebrew. La Sosim Eile. Higdil Hashem, La Sosim Eile. Hashem did wonders. With whom? With us, we were happy. By the way, these are three different terms: smoke, rina, and simcha. I could pursue you, but I'm not sure I will right now. But these are the kind of things you have to analyze very carefully. When is one used? Well, simcha we just had the other moment, the other half hour or so, when ein simcha l'basa and simcha l'b'yayin, and simcha actually refers to an inner feeling of joy that one should have, for example, on Yom Tov. Even though outwardly it's manifest by eating meat and drinking wine, but inwardly it's a sense of being in the presence of Hashem. Realizing that Yom Tov, one has a greater sense of simcha, and one has the relief. Okay, I continue. Shuvah Hashem Eshviseinu. What should Hashem, again, Shuvah means he should bring back. Shviseinu. Translate that.
The captives?
Captives, excellent. Ka'afikim ba'negev. And what are afikim? You can figure this out too. Negev, of course, refers to? Negev is where? It's an area which is desert. Arid. Desert area. And what are ka'afikim ba'negev? Clearly referred to tributaries in the Negev. Bodies of water, small bodies of water that perhaps abound in the Negev. Means most of the year they're probably dry. They're probably empty, and suddenly, brooks, you can call them, suddenly they're filled with water. And notice, suddenly, what's the nature of this analogy? That just as Afikim emerge in the Negev, almost in a very instantaneous kind of way, so too, all the goodness that we are lacking, Hashem will bring upon us in a very immediate kind of way. Hazorim Bedima is a very famous pasuk as well. Those who sow with tears will reap with joy. Again, the expression of Rina. This, by the way, has many, many applications, but it means simply, in the simple shot, a farmer, someone who is tilling the soil and hoeing the soil and plowing and doing all the other agricultural activities that farmers do. So obviously, what are they doing? They're praying to Hashem that hopefully their efforts will yield success, correct? That they will have a tremendous yield in terms of the crop, and everything will be in order. And the Zriya is the one level, the very beginning level. And the end, of course, is Barina, Yitzaru. Once they harvest, obviously then, there's a tremendous sense of joy, tremendous sense of simcha that's experienced by them.
Wait, they're crying for that?
What?
They're crying for that?
Yeah, because the dimma over here clearly refers to Tfila Mitoch Ma'amaki Alei. It's Tfila to Hashem Yisbarach that they're sowing, and in general, the activities they're about to engage in should hopefully yield success. And therefore they're crying to Hashem, it's a kind of bakasha. They're praying to Hashem that they're misbowed to Hashem, that their efforts will not be in vain. Their efforts will produce and be productive and will yield a good crop, a bumper crop, a chulu v'chulu. That's Hazar B'dima. Marina Yitzhak. And then finally it ends, Allah Yelechu Bacha, Nosei Meshach Hazar, which has to be Examine this. Let's examine this. The simple pshat. Halach yelech. This pasuk obviously parallels the pasuk that precedes it. Correct. Halach yelech ubachal. He is walking, and what is happening? He's in tears. Nose meshech hazara. One who carries. Meshech refers to a sock. Refers to a the word sock, which you're familiar with. Megillah, Tavtava, and the Beis. What does the word sock mean? Sock is a kind of knapsack or a kind of covering, correct? Of what? Of Zara. Zara refers to seed, correct? And that is exactly what the is being described. Halach yelech ubachal, nosei meshech hazara. And then again, bo yavo berina, nosei alumosa. What happens in the end? Alumosa refers to what? V'hinei anachnu ma'almin alumin mitoch hasadeh. V'hinei kam alumasi v'gam nitzava. V'hinei susuben alumosechem v'tishtachaben ala alumasi. The dream of?
Yosef.
So there are alumos referred to what? Sheaves of grain. Correct? So now, at the end, he's coming back, and Baruch Hashem, the Almighty actually granted him success, and therefore he returns Barina, nosei alumosa. Now, you will agree, I think, I assume, those are divided here into two halakim. So let's try to understand what exactly the two halakim. Let's assume the first division. I have two divisions here. One is the first, which is 3 and 3, the other is 4 and 3. But there's not such a major distinction. The first cheder begins with the section of Beshuv Hashem Hashiv Asiyom. The second section begins with Shuv Hashem Hashiv. Clearly you see a parallel between these two expressions. We're interested, of course, as you know, as we always attempt to do here. Number one, show the duality, the dialectic structure, and then, based on that, we try to see where the second segment is a further development, further evolution of segment number one. That's what I've done a few times, I imagine, and we'll do it hopefully umpteen times for those who will be resolved to hear it. So here you have a parallel between Pasuk Aleph and Pasuk Daled. You are masking, just language-wise. You see the parallel? V'shuv Hashem v'shiv asiyom, shuv Hashem v'shiv seinu, ka'afikim ba'nechim. Beyond that, the first pasuk in the Mizmor has an end, ha'yinu kecholmim. What is that parallel to? The end of the first section, which is? Ha'yinu smechim. So something is happening. Namely, there's some change taking place. There's some, shall we say, transformation, which is taking place. Initially, What was the posture? It was one of cholmen. What does cholmen mean?
Dreaming.
People dream. But at one point in time, something happened, and now, hayino smechem. Apparently the dreams came to fruition. Okay? I continue. There is another distinction, which is, I think, very significant in the two chalakim. In the first chalak, the verbs actually are either in the past, or perhaps in the future, after the word oz, which I told you we just saw the Gemara in the left-hand corner, that a person is not allowed to imalis olpin b'olam hazeh, shenema oz imalis olpino. Mashenge, the chelek hasheni clearly seems to be referring to perhaps either a tzivui, an imperative form, or the future. And therefore, perhaps one could argue that the Davar Melech begins with the past. Beshuv, Hashem, Hashiv, Asiyon, Hayino. In the past, kecholmim, and then we are kind of shuv Hashem shvising or bakasha lahaba. We're requesting for the future, and in fact, what he's saying is, you saved us in the past. Hopefully, you'll save us in the future. And as Hashem began to save us, finish the process that you began. And this is part of the. But that's not really what I'm headed for. What I'm headed for, I think you should realize yourself. It's clear that the entire Mizmor is essentially a Mizmor of Hodaya. Hodaya means that one is thanking Hashem. Hodaya both in terms of the past, what Hashem has granted me in the past, and hopefully what He'll grant for me in the future. Now, if you look at the Mefarshim here, you'll see, I xeroxed about Dr. Deiri just to show you what is the subject of this Mizmor. Do you have, before you read about Dr. Deiri, what sense do you have? What is the topic that's being addressed over here? And what exactly is the nature of, what's the theme? What's the major theme of where is Klal Yisrael, and where are they now, where do they want to be? What sense do you have here, or do you have any sense? Perhaps you don't have any sense. Most of the Farshim actually interpret the Mizmar as referring to what? Yeah. Correct. We're talking about those who were exiled. Where were they before? They were in Tzion. And now they're in exile. Correct? The other way, they were dispersed, they were exiled, they were scattered. And it would seem that we're talking about those who were exiled in Golos Babel. We're talking about the beginning of the second Commonwealth, the Churban Bayis Rishon. That's when the Babylonians appear on the scene. And now they have a bakasha to Hashem, that just as you began to Shuvah Hashem Shriseinu, hopefully there will be a Kibbutz Galios. And therefore, the discussion about Afikim Banegev, or Zorim and Kotzrim, means this is essentially the expectation of what we hope Mr. Hashem will come to fruition. And as I said, if you take a look now a bit more carefully, you can see the distinction between the two sections, and I think it's pretty obvious. Before I do that, let me just read a little bit of the Radak in the beginning. Look at the Radak. Vayinu Kecholmin, says the Radak, I'm reading left-hand corner, you see Josh? Kachalom Ya'uf, Yeh B'Yinu Tzaras HaGolos. The Tzaras HaGolos will be likened to what? To a dream that is evanescent. A transient kind of dream. One that passes. Merov HaSimcha She'tiya Lanu B'Shumenu La'atzenu. Which, by the way, is a remarkable bracha. Someone can be in Golos for hundreds of years, and then suddenly undergo a Yeshua, and that Yeshua will somehow, almost miraculously, what will it do? It will totally obfuscate the hundreds of years of Golos. Because the Yeshua is so, something which is so overwhelming, and so enveloping, and so encompassing, that somehow the magnitude of it is something that simply is able to, more or less, almost I would say, eliminate or completely erase that which happened prior to this. That's what the Radak says. Ken Pirshu Adoni Avizal. The Radak is very fond of quoting his father. Amesha Ken Chit is Adoni Ken Chit. Over quotes his father. So that's how his father understands it. Then he says, Chacham Rabbi Abraham, that's what goes to Ibn Ezra. Pirish, Ken Yoru Yisrael, that's what Kali Yisrael would say. B'shuvah kel shvusa, when Hashem restores our captivity, ain other rov ain a kapela hazeh, rak b'chalom. You know, it's a dream, and this we're talking about a dream that is going to hopefully come to fruition. A dream that will come true. A dream that will actually be realized. That's the Radak. The Meiri, again, has a bit more. He writes, Shir HaMalos B'shuvah Hashem, v'higamkin alinyan ha'gadlus, and he goes on to point out that when Klal Yisrael, if I'm going to read four lines down, Va'amoshal, Kibiyos Yisrael Ba'golos, Shmo Shakadosh Baruch Hu, V'siyakeh B'fi Abrios Karoi. What happens when Klal Yisrael is in Golos? So that is the greatest Chil Hashem imaginable. If you're familiar with Tanakh, Yecheskel, Perek Ma'amavot, in that Perek, the Navi speaks about the fact that there's a terrible Chil Hashem when Klal Yisrael goes into Golos. We just had the discussion of Golos in the two parashas. I think I pointed this out here before. In Acharemos and Kedosha, the Torah speaks about the Golos, how should we call it, phenomenon, or the Golos experience, which is a terrible experience. The greatest punishment that Hashem can give Klal Yisrael is sending us the Golos, being exiled from Eretz Yisrael, because that's Hester Ponim. Since the Shem Hashem is primarily focused, of course Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, up, down, all around, right, left, and
all around,
thank you. I think but whatever the case is, Hashem is, according to Ramban, certainly much more palpably felt in Eretz Yisrael than anywhere else. The Hashkaf of Hashem is brought with Dafka here. So the Meiri says that when Klal Yisrael is in Golos, then the Shem of Hashem is also, shall we say, undergoing some sort of an exile. And he quotes the Gemara in Tainis Tezayin, Luchol Par, Luchol Tzaras and Motzar, when Klal Yisrael is in Tzar, when we are undergoing straitened circumstances, S-T-R-A-I-T-E-N-E-D, when we are straitened circumstances, when the straits of Magellan, then Motzar, then Hashem is also, shall we say, in straitened circumstances, because Imo Adalchi Bitzara, it's a Mishnah Sanhedrin. Kalani Meoshi, Kalani Mizrohi, שחיתה בגאונסה. אני השם השוח אימא בסוף תומסה. וכן הושיר ימין לך אימא עלה במצוי. כמו ספוס כתהיה להם צד הקל. So further, what we're saying is, just a bit further than the Meiri, next Meiri, Hayinu kecholmim, Shiyagi also is, when that time will come, Yiyu tzaras hagolos v'yineim kechalom, will be like a dream to us. It means we won't believe. V'yesh b'foshim sh'apela yiyah oz godol, ha'chekol adam, yitme v'ein al kilo v'ein al hachamon, v'yesh t'foshu al shom nisiyah shmena ge'ula, avodatenu libenu olen tamu. We should never, ever give up hope that Hashem will redeem us. It should be in our mind's eye that we're going to be redeemed. Now, Rabbi Yisrael Albers, that's how, Talbot Mubad, Rabbi Yisrael Feinstein, that's how, used to comment on Sukkot at the beginning of Ayetzeh. The Torah says, Ayetzeh Yaakov Be'er Shava, Vayelech Harana. Vayivka Ba'amokom, Vayolen Shom Kibo HaShemesh, Vayikach Ve'abni Ha'amokom, Vayosef Ve'ashosa, Vayishka Ba'amokom Ahu, Vayachalom. Do you recall that? So he said homiletically the following. Beautiful explanation. Based on the Drasha Mosa, homiletics. There are many verbs here. As a matter of fact, you'll notice that the number of verbs are that recur one after the next, almost, I would say, beyond belief. A lot of action happening. Vayetze Yaakov, number one. Vayevach, number two. Vayivka, number three. Vayomen, number four. Vayikach, number five. Vayosem, number six. Vayishka, number seven. Says the Medrash, Vayetzi Yaakov. Yaakov left Eretz Yisrael in the prime of his life. He left Be'er Sheva. Ramban actually describes Be'er Sheva as being a festung of chesed. It was literally, that's a German word. It was essentially a mocker of chesed. At Be'er Sheva. And Yaakov left in the prime of his life. He was compelled to leave Eretz Yisrael. Why did he leave? Hotly pursued by whom? By his brother, the end of Thomas. His brother instructed him. He leaves Be'er Sheva. Vayelech, where does he go? Charana. Charan, says the Medrash represents Charan Afshavakam, the anger of Hashem. Who lives in Charan? The answer is that sniveling, greedy, full of avarice, weasel. Lover. Vayelech Harana. So he's headed for a lifestyle which is essentially wallowing in every kind of duplicity, every kind of hypocrisy imagined. Which of course is very antithesis of what Yaakov Avinu is all about. Vayivka Ba'amoko. A Jew of these Eretz Yisrael, the prime of his life, and goes to there.
That's what I just said.
Bumps into the place. Say Chazal, the world was like a wall to him. He bumped into the wall. Vayivka Ba'amoko. Yaakov thought it was all over. Vayalen Sham. The sun set before its time. Going to Chazal. Tivua Shemesh. Yaakov is in Golas. In Golas, we are insecure. In Golas, we are wandering like vagabonds. Listless, without roots. Vayolim Shom Kivu HaShemesh, and he has to take Me'avne HaMakom for security, which of course is inorganic matter. The Ramban divides everything into four different groups, and they are Domein, Somea, Chaim, and Daber. You're familiar with the Ramban, all of the Perish HaTorah. Domein refers to inanimate objects. Somea, Chaim, the vegetable world. Chai, the animal kingdom. Midaber, the Rambam used to call Arabic philosophers mutakalimun, the amidabrim, those who speak. That's the greatness of human being, is our ability to express ourselves. Logos, correct? In fact, we have a mind, we're able to verbalize ideas, and what have you expressed them anyway. So, Yaakov thought it was all over, leaving Eretz Yisrael, the problem of his life, bumping into a wall, going to those areas where debauchery seems to be the order of the day. No values, no eternity, no substance, debauchery. The rise and fall of the Roman Empire. What did Yaakov do? There's only one thing that kept him alive. Vayachlom, the dream of coming back home. The dream of coming back to Yerushalayim, of coming back to Be'er Sheva, of returning to Eretz Yisrael, back here. Shir HaMalos, B'Shuv Hashem Hashim HaSiyam, what kept us alive? What maintained our integrity? The dream! Hayinu Kichomim! It's a very beautiful comment. Just to share with you if you don't mind. I saw it quoted from the one of the great Bali Musa, maybe one of the greatest in the world of Bali Musa in the last century. I just want to read part of his language to you, if you don't mind. I wrote it for you. Sorry?
Is that all on this one chair?
Who?
All the sheets are as one.
Yeah. Xerox, all kinds of things. And this is for a few hours, this whole discussion, but I'm sparing you. Here it is. Rav Simcha Zissel Mikel, the great Bali Musa. He asked the following question. He said, "Veshuv Hashem Hashiv Asiyo, Hayinu Kichomim." What should it have said? What would have been the proper verb, verbal form that should have been used? Not Hayinu, which translated means
We were
kecholim. It really should have said nihiye kecholim. We shall be in the future. Dreamers. It says our simple system of God. Sometimes a person imagines he is actually being subjected to someone who's beating him. He's the subject of blows, blow after blow after blow, and he is really from all the blows, and he's wounded in a way which is serious, and his pain is profound. Suddenly, he opens up his eyes and realizes he's under the blanket, he's been dreaming. Row, row, row your boat merrily down the stream, merrily, 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 merrily. Life is but a dream. That's from the ditties I studied when I was 2 or 3 years old. My father was taught me to sing it with me. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream, thank you, Israel. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. A rabbi of mine used to say, this is what you remember. That's what you remember. All the narushkeit you remember. All the silliness. It's true. That's what people remember. There's a guy in my neighborhood, an older man. Every time he meets me, he feels the need to tell me all these jokes, which are horrendous. Horrendous. I can't begin to describe how bad they are. But what do? I laugh uproariously. So people in my shul told me, why do you do that? You're just feeding it to him. He just comes with more of these terrible, terrible jokes. It's a mitzvah. We were some male people. That's a big mitzvah. Anyway, back here. In other words, B'shuv Hashem Hashim HaSiyah, it says our simple Zizul Mikel, when the Gula is going to come, we'll realize that all the years of Golas, what were we doing? We were dreaming. We thought there are enemies. We thought there's anti-Semitism. We thought that Jews are having all kinds of difficulties, social difficulties, economic difficulties, political difficulties. We're going to open up our eyes from this dream of Golas. We'll realize, what will we realize? We'll understand how Hashem operated. Hear what he says? Hayinu kicholmen. It was like a bad dream. So, back to the shot. So now we have basically 2 segments. So now let's examine it more carefully. We'll see what the 2 segments are. And the answer is, what is the first segment that begins with Shuv Hashem Hashiv Asiyo? And then It continues. Hagino kechome. Oz yimavei schok pinu shomeni mina. Oz yom magoyim higdil Hashem. Higdil Hashem lasa zimano. Hagino smechim. What's the difference in the first segment and the second? How would you define? The first segment is a dream. The first segment is a hope that the Gula is going to come to fruition. The Goyim will see the Gula. If you recall, I once spoke about, I think on another occasion here in Tehillim, on the Pasuk of Hallelujah Hashem Kol Goyim, Shabchu Kol Lev. Hallelujah Hashem Kol Goyim, Shabchu, Shabchu. See, Josh, I happen to show up. He gavar. What's the problem with this buzzer? You remember something as the kasha. Kufi Ches. How was Hashem called Goyim? Who's praising Hashem? The Goyim, right? Shabbuchu, Kala Umin. Who's praising Hashem? Kala Umin. Goyim and Umin are obviously parallel. There's a distinction between the two, but let's not get into that right now. So, why would they say praise to Hashem if Kigogar Oleinu Chazdo? To whom is Hashem showing the Chesed? To us. Why would they praise Hashem? You hear the Kasha? The Gemara has the Kasha. The Gemara is suffering. So the Gemara answers, "How was Hashem called Goyim? Al Guros in the flows to Abin Badayu, and the Guros in the flows that Hashem does Badayu with us, and they see it. The way the Rishon interprets it, he quotes Rabbi Yisrael Petersburg, another great Baal Musa, who says that we don't know all the cabals, all the secret coteries that the non-Jewish world has. They have all kinds of, they're busy conspiring against us all the time." Are we aware? No. Utsa, Eitza, Vesufa. Dabu, Dabba, Bela Yoka. Timonu Kel. Sometimes you find out about it later on, correct? What are all their attempts to destroy us, negate us, sabotage us, who knows what? But what we do not know. But they do know. And then they see the Yad Hashem, they see the Gula, the Atzala. They are absolutely even more, shall we say, astounded than we are, because they were involved, shall we say, in the planning and the strategy to go ahead and do us in. We're not aware of all that. So how does Hashem call Goyim, our gurus who default to everybody? Kol Shkeinonu. But we are the ones who are the recipients of it. We also have to say, we are obligated. This is a two dinim. Shevach HaLeidot. Who says Shevach? Those who see that which Hashem did. Who says Hodah? Those who experience the actual Yad Hashem. Okay, back over here. So the first segment is a dream. The hope that the Gula is going to come to fruition. The Goyim will see the Gula. How is Hashem called Goyim? Shavu Kolun. Higdil Hashem Nasa Simeva. Higdil Hashem Nasa Simonu. But again, Hayinu Smeva. What's the second segment? A totally different tone. What's the tone of the first segment and the tone of the second segment? How would you define it, Josh? The first segment, what's the tone? Cholim, dreaming, what?
It's kind of wistful, hopeful.
Exactly. There's a kind of hope and a bakasha that obviously Hashem will hopefully carry all this out. Higdil Hashem, they see it, the Goyim, because they see what's going on. But the second segment, what would you say is the tone over there?
It's more happiness.
Correct, no question about it. And that is seen by the language of, first of all, it happens, as I told you, almost instantaneously. Kafik in my Negev. Suddenly you have a dry area in the Negev, dry and parched. And the area where, let's say, where the topography is cracks in the ground. And suddenly, let's say, there's a massive rainstorm. And all of a sudden, all the brooks and all the tributaries are all full of water. Almost instantaneously, that's where it's going to be. And those who are Zorin Bedima, now they're reaping with joy, really Zorin. Holof Yelechu Bacho, no Simesha Chazor. I'm carrying, what am I carrying? My yield, correct? That which my, the productivity of the field. Bo Yama Barina, no Simesha Chazor. But again, the word, as I said, initially in the first segment we said there are three different terms describing joy. One is Schok, one is Rino, one is Ayinu Smechem, Ayinu Kecholmem. But now, the language which is clearly, which has somehow taken over, is the language of Rino. Rino is the language of course, but twice. And Azor Bedima Brina Yitzaru, and then the end, Bal Yadav Brina, Lo Siyala Lo Siyala. Also, the description that's found in the second is someone who is active. Holochimech! Bo Yavo! No say! Someone who is, shall we say, almost triumphantly marching now as a result of the Geula that Hashem has brought about. You know what I'm saying? These are clearly the two segments, and the language actually really, to a large extent, reflects these two segments. And also, I would even mention, I actually Xeroxed it. You are familiar, undoubtedly, with Rip Van Winkle. Who was Rip Van Winkle?
The guy who slept for 20 years or 100 years? I don't remember exactly.
The parallel to Rip Van Winkle, Abdil, in Chazal, is Choni HaMa'agil. I can learn Tainus, about forgiven. You're familiar with this gentleman. So I want to, did I make enough copies? I didn't tell you to do that. Oh, there's no time now. Okay, did it here? In my... Did I make copies of this? Let me just show you this thing. Here's one copy. And here's a second copy. Here's the original.
I'm gonna hold it.
Would
you like it or not?
Make it quickly, if I cut and paste. Just make it happy, and then we'll just revisit. The Gemara here describes, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Yomav Shel Oseh Tzadik, you don't have it there. Kol Yomav Shel Oseh Tzadik, all the days of that Tzadik, namely Choni HaMa'agil, Oyim Mistara Mikrozeh, he was very in tzar, in pain on this Pasuk. Which Pasuk? Shira Malos Meshuv Hashem Meshuv Asiyo Ayiru Kachomim. I'll translate the Gemara. The Gemara is actually more or less in the divided the Hebrew translation. I went to look for it and I found the Baruch Hashem. I should have found the English one, but I don't have the English, so what am I supposed to do? I don't possess the art scrolls or whatever. I only have those that were given to me by my brother Zechariah Ben Bracha, who worked for art scroll for 30 years. Anyway, what? Michal, Rav Michal Wiener. He actually wrote for Art School. Yeah, he wrote on Kalim for Art School. Two fat volumes. He's a Bucky in Taras. He actually was a product of Rav Soloveitchik, Maimonides, 12 years. Then, while you should be listening, Tom with a Rav. And then, subsequently, approximately 40 years in Lakewood. And he wrote for us while he did for a living, I must say. Big walking tower, big tzaddik. Passed away about a year and a half ago. I wrote a hesped for him, a 12-page hesped. It's a tremendous tzaddik. I actually went to have it published in the magazine. I'm not so familiar with Yatei Ne'eman. I have an English version. So I had to change a number of things in order to...
Show me.
What?
You showed me.
You showed it. You read it?
Yeah.
That was a very nice...
Yes.
Okay, let's look at the upwriting. I'll try not to keep your... Let's not make it, if you don't mind. Look at the Hebrew translation, I underlined it. So he was worried about this person, Choni HaMa'agil. Omar, Haim Yesh, HaMinamnim Shivim Shana B'Chalon, is it someone who actually... Minamnim, Nimnum...
Dozes.
Is it someone who dozes? Off and on, 70 years in a dream. Yom Mechad Yom Halach Badech. We're reading the Hebrew translation. One day he's walking on the road. Rav Adam Mechad Yom. He saw someone planting a carrot tree. Amaro. He said to the person planting. Zeachul. The carrot shown to him. How many years is it going to bear fruit? Amaro. The Shivim Shana. 70 years. Amaro. Hayim Baruch Hashem. Tichle Shivim Shana. Why are you planting it? Are you sure you're going to live 70 years? I found carob trees in the world. My forebears, not only three, but my forebears planted carobs for me. I smile at it. Can't show some of
these outside. I've just been wondering if you could stay laughing at all my jokes for the last like 20 minutes
since
you said that story.
So, I'm going to plan for my descendants as well. Yashav Choni Vachalach, and he sat down to eat bread. Guess what? Nafal Tadema, a massive slumber came upon him and he fell asleep. He kids took. Sviva, what happened? Around him, what grew? A tzuk, which was a kind of almost a protective type of wall, tree. No one saw him. The Yoshin Shivim Shah, 7 years he slept. Shaykits, when he woke up, he saw a person, Shubalaki Yosachub, he was taking carrots from the tree. Amalah, Atau Shinatato? You're the one who planted it? Amalah, Benveno, and the other grandson. Mashma, he said to the guy, Shiashanti Shivim Shana. I slept for 70 years. Allah Beisa. He went to his home. Allah Beisa Venish. He went to his Venish. Shama Chacham Lomim. He saw the Chacham say, Nehir Mashmuos Kidi Yam of Shachom Yam Agil. That the halachas, they were saying over from Chom Yam Agil. He was Chomi. They were saying over from what they were Makabla Masara 70 years prior to that. Shik Shahaya Chomi Nichas the Beisa Venish called Shayla Shay Salam the Chacham Ayam Yashra. He was able to answer any question. Whenever they came to Beis Medrash, Amalam Anihu, I am Chol Yam Agel. Lo Aminu, they didn't believe him. Lo Nagu Mokom Mokomoi, they didn't treat him with the proper respect. Chol Yam Agel had died 70 years earlier, and he's identifying himself as Chol Yam Agel. Chol Yam, the circle draw, which is Agel. For the word igul, igul means
circle.
Excellent. Anyway, so the Gemara says Chol Shadaito. He literally, what happened? He became depressed. They don't know me. They don't recognize me. The Gemara says he died. Anyway, the Gemara says, okay, I can't discuss this whole story because it needs a lot of discussion. But what's of interest is that the Gemara says he was with Steyr and his pasuk. What's the connection to this story and this pasuk? B'shuv Hashem Hashiv Asiyam B'yinu Kechomet. What's the connection to yourself?
Between I seem to do with the dreams and sleeping.
Namely?
Dream.
I mean, he literally went into a rather 70-year period of somnolence, a slumber. Correct? Are you looking for? Anyway, okay. Back to the actual mizmor. The point of the mizmor is the first segment of the mizmor. You see, is essentially this kind of bakasha to Hashem, and it should be able to emerge from Golos. But I think it's never going to happen. Are you looking for? It's like a dream. It's a reverie. Something which is so distant from me, and so far, and so unlikely, and improbable, and unrealistic. And the second hand, it's like, second of the mizmor, indicates no, it's come to fruition. And you see the difference in the tone between the two segments. The first segment, the tone is one of what? Almost sadness, a kind of melancholia. It seems to be pervasive. Shaking the second segment is clearly one, in the sense of rina overcomes. And that is ultimately the way a Jew should have, in effect, the tachon Hashem Yisbarach, that eventually, and probably sooner than we think, the goals will end and the good is going to end.
Amen.